fucking that sets everything up.
Always do it.
Yeah. So, but yeah, dude, the universe. Karma definitely has something to do with the universe. What is the definition of karma? Hey Siri.
Look it up.
Hey Siri, what's the definition of karma?
Karma means, in Hinduism and Buddhism, the sum of a person's actions in this and previous states of existence, viewed as deciding their fate and future existences.
See, bro, I did not fucking know that. See, like, I thought karma was just a word someone made up, but like, like karma is like it said Buddhism, blah 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 shit, what someone's does shit, like let's see. It has something to do with your destiny, and your destiny is part of the universe. So whatever you do in the universe, I think that's how I'm thinking. When I was tripping on shrooms, bro. Oh my god.
How was that?
The whole universe came at me raw as fuck, bro. Just hit me with like a straight reality smack to my face. Like, that's why they say it's like a life lesson sometimes. Like, I call mushrooms life lessons.
I always had a lot of fun on them. Me and Sammy would take them and listen to the Beatles and watch the Yellow Submarine and like Alice in Wonderland and listen to like the Grateful Dead, and I always just kind of enjoyed getting away and kind of being on a trip and not really having to feel everything that I have to feel every day, you know what I mean? And just kind of laughing and enjoying myself.
That's a trip. Like, that's probably because like you guys vibe on a whole different level. When I was taking shrooms, I was like a straight up in like a depression as like mentality, whatever. Like my mental health wasn't all that great at the moment. Not like really bad, like where I had to go to a doctor. It was just like my own persona and like myself, that I was just mad at myself and the world and blame, like realizing that I was blaming my shit on other shit. And so when I took shrooms, like that shit gave me a reality check, like smacked me in the face, because like when I was on it, I was thinking about life,
right?
And life had me got me fucked up, bro. When I was on shrooms, I was like, damn, bro.
Well, I mean, same. When me and Sammy started taking them, it was only a few months after my mom passed, and we had just lost our house, and I was going through some heavy shit myself.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I was also depressed when I first started taking them, and it actually helped. I was scared to do it, because, you know, my guy Kyle passed when he was on acid. Yeah. He had killed himself. So I was nervous to do them because I didn't know how I was going to react. But, you know, I actually, the first time I did them, I almost tried to make myself have a bad trip. I started thinking negatively just to see where it might go. But having someone there to help me bring myself back if it was severe.
That's your love.
I started thinking about all the crazy shit I was going through. And I started to feel like I was getting sad, but then I just started laughing. I just started geeking out, man, and it just, I was like, nah, man, it's all right. It's all right.
Yeah, your mind wouldn't let you.
No, literally, my mind, and it still don't. I've tried this every time I've took them, and it's still, there's something in there. My mind just, it flips a switch.
Yeah, I mean, like, to be honest, the first, like, 30 minutes or 40 or an hour of it is good. Like, it was fun as fuck, but then until, like, towards the come off, like, I started thinking about life heavy and shit, like, super heavy. And, for what happened was, I took some shrooms and I went to Mexico, Tijuana, where my mom went. So I took the shrooms when I was driving on my way there. It's only an hour drive to get there, an hour and a half drive.
Driving on mushrooms?
Yeah, but,
holy
like,
God,
it didn't kick in till, like, literally, like, 30, 45 minutes when I got, like, when I got to San Diego, it kicked in, and like I was tripping out a little bit driving, and my grandma was in the car. My grandma Doreen.
Oh Lord.
And she didn't know though. So when I got there and I crossed the border, I was tripping balls, and I was going through an international fucking border where there's border patrol and fucking,
oh jeez,
and
man,
fucking and the Mexican federales, the police of the border patrol on the other side. So when I crossed, I was tripping balls and like everything looked all trippy. Like I felt like because he had to go through an X-ray. I felt the whole X-ray through my whole body and shit. I was like tripping balls. So like when I went and I got to Mexico, my stepdad picked us up in a truck, and I went on the back of the truck, and it felt like a roller coaster because you could sit in the back and like he's mobbing fast as fucks, and I was tripping, I was giggling and laughing. And then first, all of a sudden, like when I got to my mom's house in Mexico, like I was having a good time, and then until like I walked in the house and my mom knew I was fucked up and just like killed my vibe.
Uh-huh.
But like, she's like, Nico, you need to pray to God, and you need to talk to Jesus, and she's like, you need to turn around and talk to him. And she had this big painting of Jesus, and it was behind me, and I was so scared to turn around and look at that painting. I didn't want to. I was like, fuck that. I'm not turning around. Like I thought, like the Jesus painting picture was just gonna look at me and be like, bitch, like you fucked up. And then, so. But then it hit me when I went. I was giggling and laughing. I was like, no, mom, I'm good. I'm just tripping and this and that. And Noel told my mom that I was tripping off of shrooms. And then my mom was bitching at Noel. And so when there she was bitching at him, I was just like laughing, whatever, and looking at my mom's other paintings that she has in her room, in her house, in the kitchen. And there was like fruits and shit that looked like they're, and flowers that looked like they're waving in the wind and shit.
Oh, wow.
And then when I went to the fridge, and I opened the fridge because I was thirsty or to see if there was beer or whatever, and I opened it, and the fridge was empty. So in my fucking mind right there, like, life just hit me like, bitch, you're selfish, you're fucking not feeding your family is starving, there's nothing in the fridge, like, what the fuck are you doing, you're tripping on shrooms, like, you should be giving your family money, yeah, going groceries. It hit me all at once, just boom, and then, dude, I just started crying.
Oh.
I just felt bad for myself. Yeah, I was just like, I'm a piece of shit, like, I can't live with myself, like what the fuck am I doing, like... I was like, I'm a fucking bum. I'm just like every other nigga, like getting high and not fucking caring about his family, this and that. And
it's powerful stuff.
Yeah, dude, I tripped out and like I ran upstairs and I was just bawling my eyes out. And my mom came and talked to me and shit. And she was like, oh, Nico, what's wrong, this and that. And I was telling her like, oh, mom, I'm a piece of shit. Like I'm a bad son. Like I fucked up. I'm a fuck up. And she was talking to me, and she's like, no, you're not a fuck-up, this and that. And I was like, yeah, I am, because I don't even check up on you guys. You guys don't have food in your fridge or nothing like that. Like, I seen your fridge, and it's empty. Like, what the fuck? How come you don't ask me for money or anything or any, like, stuff like that? Like, we were just talking, and I was tripping on shrooms. And she's like, no, Nico. She started laughing. She's like, I just emptied it out. We're going grocery shopping today. And so, like, that dude. So, like, that little thing that just, like, it was the shrooms. That's why I call them life lessons ever since I took them like that. Because
maybe that was Jesus talking to you.
Yeah, dude. It was like, I don't know what the fuck it was talking to me. The universe was talking to me. Like, bro, I heard it in my head. Like, it wasn't my own voice. Like, it was just like, oh, you fucking up, boy. Like, you're not caring about your family. There's no food in there. What are you going to do? Are you going to, like, dude, I was fucking wrecked at that. I was, like, so emotional at that fucking, on that shroom trip. And I was like, man, that shit is wild.
What a way to start the podcast.
Right? So fucking wild. Yeah, shrooms, guys. Life lessons, that's what I call them.
Over here, it's the original podcast, the Ohio podcast, with my brother, Little Sauce.
A.K.A. Nico.
A.K.A.
That's A.K.A. Kung Fu. That's what my family calls me, because I used to be a little Kung Fu panda. Still am.
We're just a tribe of pandas. Eating bamboo leaves. Eating bamboo.
But yeah, that was a trip.
So
I'm gonna need to get some more champagne to continue this. Hold on.
So I've been out here in California for almost a whole month now, and we've been doing legendary things since I came out here. At the moment, we're drinking champagne.
Champagne, and I just worked a fucking 8-hour. Fucking shift in the sun. I do stucco. If anyone needs stucco, if anyone hears this in Southern California, I do stucco. Albert Stucco Repair. I do high-end quality shit. And if you guys need me, bang my line. Hit up my boy Slagle.
What's your number?
949-563-1359. Bang my line if you need any patches done. If you your house is like really dirty on the outside exterior, we power wash it, and if the color's distorted, we'll fix it. All that good stuff. But yeah, that's what I do.
What else do you do? Do you also make sauce?
I don't make sauce, but I bring that sauce. You know?
Speaking of which, you produced a couple records for me, which we got to go lay down in the studio last weekend.
Yes, yes.
How did that feel?
It was really, really great. Like, to be in that that little experience for me was like, it was bound to happen.
Tell the people though. Tell the like why did it make it great? They don't know the backstory. They don't know the ups and downs and
the backstory
started.
Shit. So it all started with me and David asking each other if we liked the Cottonmouth Kings. Shout out to Cottonmouth Kings. So this was like probably like 10th grade, freshman year, I think.
What year, like 2009?
I can't remember, dude. It's 2010, so, it's been a maybe. Decade.
Wow.
Yeah. So we liked Cottonmouth Kings. We liked skateboarding.
Nico moved from California to Cleveland.
Yeah, straight bro, you know? To those people who know, straight bro. Moving to Northeast Ohio, fucking by the Great Lakes. Such an experience. But when I met David and we went to Elyria High and shit, we had some friends that linked up with each other and shit, and we met a few times in school, but we didn't really actually kick it until we wanted to go to a Good Guys in Black and Rick Thorne Monster Energy like tour.
Changa 57.
Changa 57. Rest in peace.
Yeah.
Rest in peace, Changa, Lorraine, Ohio. To all those BMX riders who know, they know. So we went there and we were fucked up off of
some monsters
that we like got 15 monsters. Years old.
Oh my gosh, I had like seven of them.
Yeah, we were fucking fried as well. 15 years old, high as hell, drinking energy drinks, hyped up because there's a punk band. So we got to
playing at a skate park.
Yeah, we got to meet Rick Thorne, which was like a fucking idol to me and the friends. Because we're all about like Tony Hawk and shit. So we knew like BMX riders and shit. And well, not a lot of people knew about Rick Thorne until like American Wasteland came out. So, but when me and David started like talking about music, it was all about the shit that we liked, like Tech N9ne. Like he would show me, like I didn't really know Tech N9ne when I first moved out there. He showed me Tech N9ne. Tech N9ne. He knew the Cottonmouth Kings. I knew the Cottonmouth Kings. So that was just like a connection. And then I showed him like SoCal Trash, if anyone who knew that was. SoCal Trash in the 951 Riverside area. So we started just talking about music and shit. And we would talk about it, but like we were never really thinking about being artists or anything at the moment.
And it started in Max's attic.
Having
sessions with a homemade bong out of like PVC piping or something. Something that may not have been seen.
Right? My dude went to Home Depot.
$20.
Spent $20 to build like a fucking exotic PVC hookah pipe with like little plastic tubes that everyone hits, and it fucking ripped. We smoked like an ounce out of that bitch, like
in a day.
Yeah, in a day, like a whole afternoon, not a day, like.
And then we would just try it, and I was like, "Hey, I kind of want to be a rapper."
And everyone was just like, "What the fuck? Okay, like,
all
right."
They were like, "Go for it!" Like we all geeked out about it, but they were like, "Do it!" And I was like, "Look, I kind of been writing over the past few weeks," and we're like, 15, 16 maybe. So they started hearing me and. 10 years later, we're 26 years old, drinking champagne. Cheers to you, brother. So we started recording at Nico's mom's house with a little cassette tape recorder.
On the, rap- on the east side of Elyria.
On the east side of Elyria, we'd wrap a dryer sheet around the tape recorder, right? Couldn't hear the beat because we had no way to hear the beat. Record my vocals, upload them to the computer, all right? And then try to put them on beat with a beat. Horrible.
This is like literally like some fucking dope boy shit.
It was 2009 or 2010 we were doing this. So we had no idea about Pro Tools, software, studios. We were thinking studios was going to be $1,000 an hour or something crazy. We didn't have that. We made a couple hundred, you know?
Right? We didn't have no money. We were just 15 years old. All our money went to weed.
Six foot bongs
and shit. Like,
Cottonmouth King
tickets. Like, dude, we were about it. But
you know, it was definitely a good feeling to be in LA and to record at a pretty good studio. Atrium Studios. Shout out to Big Duke, yeah. Man, from Cleveland. Got a studio
shout
in
out,
LA.
Shout out to my boy, what's his name?
Ray C. Shout out
Ray C. Hey, my boy. You owe me half a Dutch. I'm just fucking with you. But, like, yeah, dude, like, the whole experience being in the studio, what was it called? Ultrium?
Ultrium, yeah.
Ultrium Music Studio out in North Hollywood, sorry. But really, really sick, low-key spot. Definitely could smoke a lot of danks in there. We got fried. The whole experience, it's just, I've been waiting for this experience with David because... We've been talking about this for years to get in the studio, and then eventually we made it happen. We fucking had an epic ass weekend. We got lit, got drunk, smoked a lot of weed.
We had a scat pack.
We went and rented a scat pack Challenger. We
drove the scat pack to LA to have the session, parked it in a sketchy ass, dirty ass street off of Bose, North Hollywood, and had the homie Giovanni with us. You know, shout out to Nipsey. You know, we had to grab some Marathon OG. We had like a little bit over an eighth of that. Giovanni was so stuck. We thought he wasn't having a good time. He was just sitting by himself looking at his phone. You know, we were like, oh man. I was like, what up though? And then I laid my verse down. It was time for Giovanni. I said,
Who wants next? Who wants next?
And he said, I got a verse, hopped up like nothing. And I was like, what?
My boy killed it, though.
And it just happens to be one of the sickest verses ever. And that's going to be for a song that we have coming out soon called Gas Money.
Yay. I did the hook.
Yeah, Nico did the hook and killed it. First time being in a big studio and he killed it.
I haven't done any kind of music stuff like this for a long time. I'm always working construction, so like when my boy came out here, I had to do it for him. And... He
produced two or three beats at the house a week before we did this, and they sound fucking amazing.
Yes.
And you guys are going to hear that. He actually produced two or three records for my new project, Between Hell and Humble, and we're working on a mixtape called ADHD Volume 3, just for fun.
Yes. And that's going to be the most lit mixtape. If you guys don't know about ADHD, there's two other volumes, and this is Volume 3. Just for fun.
And it's been 10 years since I made ADHD.
Yeah. ADHD number volume 1 was Out of Adderall.
Out of Adderall. And it's been 10 years since it's been 8 years since I made the second one.
And that one was
The Tale of Mr. Crockett.
The Tale of Mr. Crockett. And then number 3, ADHD Just for Fun.
Oh, bro. And I'm coming back out here. I'm leaving California in a few days, but I'm coming back out here, and we're going to get back to work on ADHD. So
that's going to be probably like a year project.
Yeah, definitely taking our time and really going to... But it's going to be fun. It's going to be a mixtape. You know, it's really going to be a different kind of experience.
It's Cleveland and Orange County mix, I guess. A little flavor to it, you know?
Whole lot of this and that. But it'll be dope, you know? Because, like, the Cleveland and Beyond project was real... There was only two features on it. I was real isolated making that. And it was a real serious project. And for Between Hell and Humble, I'm kind of taking it day by day and building that project off of these experiences. And, dude, I think it's done. I think Between Hell and Humble just might be done with some songs that we did out here and the rest of the shit I was showing you.
Damn, so like how many songs is that?
11.
11 songs?
I might only put 11 on the project.
That's still pretty sick. That's a...
I feel like if you come with a shorter track list, every song has to be fire.
True, true.
No fillers. A lot of people's attention span ain't there for a 15-plus track album, unless yeah. you're a star. So I feel like building a shorter track list is going to give you more replay value, too. Yeah. As long as the songs are jams.
That's true, that's true.
So we got some legendary features on here, by the way. We got a Tut, shout out Tut from Chattanooga, Tennessee. My man got on the album with me. We actually got a song called Another One coming out. That'll be out soon. Shout out to Park Ave.
Another one.
He actually produced Gas Money, Park Ave. And that's the one I got Little Sauce and Jay Days on. It's Gas Money.
Hey, hey. That's the only one we're going to be on the... With a Cleveland, is it Cleveland Beyond? Or no, what is it?
Between Hell and Humble.
Oh, Between Hell and Humble. Sorry, my bad.
But...
We'd be high as fuck.
Nico produced... Which one was it? Feels?
Feels. And... Oh, just Feels. But we're still working on the other ones. But produced a few songs that we haven't got to actually write to yet.
Yeah, so there's more coming with that, but we've been working, man. You know, people think this is a vacation for me. Dude, tell them how much we've been working out here.
We've been working so much.
Non-stop. Even when it looks like we're on vacation, man, we're working under these palm trees, still trying to get to it, you know.
Don't get confused with the beautiful sunlight and the beautiful spots we go to.
Beauty is mirage.
That's just where I live. That's just, there's no running from that. It just feels like vacation, but, you know, out here in California, people understand. I mean, a lot of people do understand, but also at the same time, a lot of people don't understand that living here costs you a lot of work.
Yeah, plus not to mention, you know, we've been doing a lot. We've been going to studios, taking meetings, we've been producing, we've been taking photo shoots. We got legendary photos. We got a vlog coming on the way to sum up the whole trip. Yes. And... to end the trip off right, the day I leave in LA, we'll be going to meet up with my guy DJ VIP from All Money In. He's going to be doing the music at the Marathon Cultivation event. They're going to be debuting a new cultivation strand called Original Cookie. I think it's a new one. They were talking about it being a throwback. I'm excited for it, though.
I'm excited. That marathon had me stuck, though.
Dude, yeah. I want to try the
that was, like, a whole straight, like, I felt like Nipsey Hussle in that bitch. R.I.P. to my guy, man. That's another legend in the streets of California who passed away this year, along with Kobe Bryant.
Will you text Sammy for me real quick and tell her we're doing the podcast? She was just trying to call me. But yeah, man, Kobe, it was so sad. It was so sad to hear that. And I'm not that big of a sports fan, but even Kobe has inspired myself.
Yeah. You know I knew who Kobe was ever since fucking... what's the fucking game? What's the fucking...
NBA Street?
Yeah, NBA Street. And no, he was on there too, but...
NBA 2K and all that, or what?
Yeah, NBA 2K and all that shit.
Yeah, man, I love them games. Shout out to our guy Cooch, man. I'm coming back to Ohio soon. Me and Cooch stay on the NBA 2K.
Yeah, shout out to Cooch, my other brother from another mother from the other coast.
Hey, you gotta get hit, Nico, so that you can play us in the NBA 2K and get your ankles broke.
Oh my god, bro, I'll get fucking slammed, bro. I don't even fuck with video games all like that. I have a PS3. That's the latest I'm on right now.
me and Cooch are pretty matched when it comes to the NBA 2K. Sometimes he'll whoop my ass, other times I'll whoop his ass. There's this guy, Hairline, man. Hairline is a monster. Bro, but his hairline's like way back here.
Sorry, we're taking a little smoke break. But anyways, shout out to Cooch. Shout out to my grandma out there still in Northeast Ohio in Elyria. Shout out to grandma. She's the manager of the deli and bakery. if you need that ham, go hit her up.
She's still at the Walmart?
Yeah, still okay. At the Walmart, yeah. What was that road again?
Sometimes
East River Road or some shit?
Sometimes I go and I check over there to see if she's there. I don't ever see her though. She's probably a boss now.
Yeah, she's a manager. She'd be telling other motherfuckers how to run that shit.
So I've been out here in Cali, man, doing a lot of legendary stuff, and this has been a big thing for me. You know, I was talking about it earlier that lately I've been telling myself to have more faith and less fear. And I've just been taking everything day by day. And no matter how it comes, trying to just control my mind and tell myself to have more faith. Because I feel like with fear, it's going to make you scared. And even if you go into it scared, it's going to make you shaky and you could slip. If you go into it confident with faith, and I'm not just talking faith in God. I'm talking faith in the universe, faith in whatever it is that you believe in that makes you get up every day. If you have faith in that and let it guide you, I truly feel like you'll go into everything a lot more strong-minded.
Yeah, a lot of people think, like, a lot of these young kids, bro, they be thinking, like, shit's just gonna happen to them. You know, like, or these kids are, like, they really be waking up in the morning popping pills and robbing motherfuckers, man. What happened to, like, all these kids, man?
It was kids having kids.
It's just a sad world, but you know, that's why it's up to us when we have kids. The 90 kids have kids, and it's up to us to really make the best out of it. Teach our kids the right way, because to be honest, like, after growing up and going through all this shit, I don't want my kid to go through what I've gone through. You know, like,
exactly.
I want to teach them morals, respect, and how to hustle. I teach them like if you're good at school, be good at school. You're still gonna go to school, but if you love something else, go for it. I'm gonna support them all the way, because I wish I had that support when I was younger. You know, like, if we had the support that we did when we were trying to do this music or BMX or shit like that, imagine where we could have gone, like, now, you know.
Exactly. Like, I seen something today that said it takes 6 to 8 people to lift you for your pallbearers when you're dead. Imagine if you had 6 to 8 people to uplift you while you're trying to do something here. And that was powerful, man. That was very powerful, and it's the truth. A lot of people don't have help. People get in their feelings. People feel like you can't do it. People put you in a box. But look at how far we've come, and we don't have it all. We ain't rich, you know. But we're growing every day, and we're working on ourselves.
We ain't rich, but we ain't rich, and we ain't poor.
We rich broke. Shout out to Little DeBall.
For real, you know, like, that's. I mean, it'd be nice to be rich, but you know what? I'm just living my life. I'm trying to be good at life, man.
By the way, man, I've been trying to teach you about these stocks, my boy.
Oh yeah.
When are you gonna let me teach you about these stocks?
Yeah, dude, I'm down. I mean, shit, I just lost like $700 just fucking trying to invest. So I need to gain that shit back.
So if you guys don't invest, or if you have thoughts and want to do it, you can check out this free app called Robinhood for stock trading. And that's what I've been doing. I studied it for about a year over the past 6 to 7 months. I've really been putting in a little more work. So I've almost been studying about a total 2 years. But I've been making good money. I've looked into dividends. I've looked into kind of like payout ratios and how to balance things. And a lot of people aren't aware of dividends. They just think, oh, when the stock crashes, you lose all that money. They don't really see how you can build wealth with stocks and bonds.
Yeah.
So, like, if you invest in something like Coca-Cola with a good dividend, let's say 3 to 5%, you know, that's a pretty good dividend. Could be higher, could be lower. I'm not too sure off the top of the head. But if you invest in that and the stock's 46, 48 bucks a share, you get 3 to 5% of whatever that stock is 4 times a year when they announce a quarterly payout.
That's pretty ballin'.
So think about the more you invest, the more you make back. Even if you're losing a little bit of money, you're still making money back. And yep. that's literally you can still go to a day job and have stocks.
And it's all about investing your time and your money. Because a lot of people don't know what to do when they get their money. Like, basically, like just like economics. Like, when I was just reading through it, people don't know how to spend their money, because they get their paycheck and, like, they'll go see a movie, and then after the movie theater, there'll be like a new new clothes they want to go buy and shit, or new shoes or hat in the, like, their shopping mall or something. But like, people just don't know how to spend their money and invest in it, and that's just one, that's one thing I wish I knew how to do. And
people are scared to take a loss with it.
Yeah, people are afraid to fail, but at the same time, people will spend their money on stupid shit they don't need.
Yeah,
because like me, I make a good enough money to afford a Scat Pack Challenger or a Camaro SS or something like that. And I've been thinking heavily. I really, 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 really fucking want one. Like, I could do it, but is it a necessity? Like, is it something that I really, really need at this moment?
Right.
And I think about it, I'm like, well, shit, like, I think about money, and I think about, okay, where is my business gonna go if I get this car and this and that? So I feel like if I fix my credit and then eventually buy a house, because if you buy a house, and here, especially in California, it's a big investment. Like, even though you're paying it off every year, the price goes up in California. Right. So your money is making $10,000 a year. So if you buy a house over here, that's like over $600,000 or $700,000, it's gonna go up no matter what. So that's the things when it comes to needs and wants. And when people don't, this is what I'm talking about, people don't really know what to spend their money on. And people need to spend their money on investments, no matter what it is. If it's your job, courses to learn something new, trade school. A lot of people think they need college to have better opportunities and better paying jobs, that's not necessarily true, because look at Bill Gates, Elon Musk, all these fucking, owner of Amazon,
Jeff Bezos,
went to school, dropped out, and fucking started Amazon from a garage. Same with Harley and all those companies. They just all started from garages and shit. Like, Microsoft, Bill Gates and shit. Like, these people went to school, but they noticed that, school's knowledge, but school was just a waste, because they were finding investors and investing their time and money into something they knew that was gonna work. They found an unmet need that people would strive for and feel like they would need every year. Just right. Like iPhones. Everyone needs a new fucking iPhone. When the new one comes out, everyone needs a new fucking iPhone or a new Galaxy and shit like that.
Sure.
It's fucking crazy, man. Like, just like pretty much what I'm saying is just like, invest in yourself. Invest into look for something that's unmet. Like, something that's like, you totally know that people haven't really been brought up to, like, a certain product or a certain kind of service or shit like that, and people would be fucking amazed how much money you fucking make.
That's
if you invest in, like I said, invest your time, find the resources, whatever, do what you gotta do and invest.
Work on your credit, you know?
There's
ways to get your credit up. You can help your kids get a LLC started. You can help them build a business credit. There's a lot of ways to make funds and make money. Get life insurance while you're young, so it's cheaper. In case anything happens, it's already in put and your people are taken care of. You can get $1 million life insurance policy for $27 a month.
Man, take care of your future kids.
You can take care of anything. You know, if something happens to you, whoever's around you, who's a part of that, is blessed.
Yeah, that's true. Another thing I want to get out there is e-commerce. E-commerce. So I want to talk about Shopify and all these gurus, social media fools that are always saying they know how to make you this certain amount of money by building an automated website, or they'll build you a Shopify page, or they'll build you an Amazon account, this and that. So let me tell you my experience, how I went through all this shit. So when I first got into what's it called, drop shipping and stuff like that, I found this drop shipper and this dude on YouTube who passed away, I believe, this year, which, man, rest in peace. I forgot his name, I'm sorry, but I know his YouTube page was King Ecom or Ecom King or something like that. And when I found his videos, I fell in love with dropshipping because he taught me so much shit, and he taught me a lot of knowledge and shit. And he wasn't getting that much views, and people would talk shit to him on, like, on his YouTube page and shit, and other gurus and shit, because he was giving out the real secret.
Right.
And I just couldn't believe he passed away, because I feel like something happened, because this fool was giving out real information, and then people didn't like it, and gurus would talk shit to, like, gurus, like, dudes who are scamming people and this shit, giving away their secrets, are getting mad at this dude. So this dude ended up dying by an accidental overdose.
Oh, wow.
Right? So, like, he broke his foot, and I don't know if I read this right or if this is possible, but I'm trying to remember saying that he was taking painkillers for his foot, and the painkillers would stay in his body and not leave, like, it wouldn't wear off. So oh, he wow. didn't know that. So he would just pop pills, and when he had pain in his foot,
and maybe shit, he was allergic?
I don't know. Well, something happened, so he overdosed, but there's not a whole thing that was really secretive and stuff like that. But there is a little closing that his brother did, whatever his friends did, that were friends with him. So Ecom King or King Ecom, he's the one who got me into drop shipping. So when I got into drop shipping, I was, like, really looking into it heavily, like, building. I got a Shopify account. I bought I paid for someone to build me, like, all my, like, shipping pages and returns and privacy policy and all that stuff, and wrote me, like, all, like, pretty much built me a set website. All I had to do was just add products and promote it.
Okay,
all right. And so when I did this, I was trying my best, like, finding products through AliExpress, and which is, like, a Chinese wholesale page that people would drop ship from, and it was popping in the beginning. People were making fat cash off of this, and I was trying to hop on the train and learn. And so I was like, you know what, I started seeing these dudes, because I started following, like, all these Shopify and these Instagram gurus who knew how to make websites and drop ship and shit like that and make money. So I ended up getting this kid from New York, and he was a so-called mentor. So my dumbass, I mean, like me, like they said, entrepreneurs take risk.
And right, yeah.
So I was like, you know what, fuck it. He charged me $1,500 to build me a Shopify website and help me find a product to sell, and then he's gonna help me make Facebook ads and Instagram ads and teach me all that rundown and start selling. So when I got this kid, I paid him $1,500. So did Giovanni. So he made $3,000 in one day, and this fool started doing some bullshit ass shit, not answering our calls, not texting us, this and that. So I was really bummed out. I thought I was going to take an L. I was going to be like, fuck, dude, you know what? Fuck it.
Because you thought you got scammed.
Yeah, I thought I got scammed. And he was supposed to be a mentor for drop shipping, which is selling products from a distributor, and you ship it out to the customer, this and that. And so what happened was that I found this other dude accidental on the street by my house, and he was driving, like, this AMG Mercedes and shit, and he had his Ecom sticker on Instagram. I'm not gonna say his name, but he had his Ecom thing on there. So I hit him up and I started following him, and he has an Amazon course to sell on Amazon, and it was Amazon drop shipping. So when I hit him up, I told him about Aaron and shit, and I told him what happened with my situation with the Shopify, this and that. So this dude made me feel really comfortable with him, and he told me that he was gonna get my money back, and he knew this kid, and that he was gonna get my money back, this and that. And at first I was like, oh, that'd be cool, you know, but I didn't put all my hopes up for it. And I was like, that'd be cool, yeah. I was like, if you do it, then I mean, I'm down to sign up for your program. And this dude ended up getting my money back.
Right, yeah.
And so I was so fucking impressed and
shocked. Do you know how he was able to get it back?
I don't know. It was his student. He taught this kid.
Oh.
He was a mentor for him. It was his student. So I was like, oh, shit. Like, so you knew him? You got my money back? Like, what the fuck? And after he got my money back, he FaceTimed me on Instagram. And he was like, yo, dude. It's like, so I got your money back, this and that. And he's like, you don't have to thank me, but I'm not pressuring you. If you want to join my program, it is. I'll hook you up for going through all that shit and stuff like that. I was like, yeah, you know what? Let me think about a day and let me see what's up. And then the next day, I signed up for his course. And when I got onto his course, he teaches how to use credit cards and make money and build your credit by drop shipping through Amazon.
Uh-huh.
I won't get into all that detail until like the next podcast or something, but this is a lot of information. But pretty much he teaches you how to use your credit card and build your credit card with customers' money. So when you're drop shipping, he teaches you how to drop ship from these retail things, whatever and shit. And I was learning and learning, so I had the next step was to get my credit card going, and I got my credit card, and I started making sales like right away with his method. It worked, like it really worked. I was making money, but I ended up getting deactivated through Amazon because what he didn't tell us is that you're not allowed to drop ship on Amazon.
Oh.
It's a scam. So,
damn.
Yeah, so I was like so butthurt because after going through trying to get my account back and talking to Amazon lawyers and people who worked for Amazon, seller account team, whatever, they told me like, yeah, you can't really drop ship this and that unless you have a supplier that gives you a authorization letter of selling their product and shit. So I was fucking drop shipping through retail. And you're not allowed to do that through Amazon. And so you got restricted. So when I started investigating all this shit and I started calling this dude out and trying to get him to help me to get my account back, he kept on ignoring me, blocking my calls.
Wasn't responding.
Yeah, so I started hitting up other students. And other students were like, started realizing the ones who were already deactivated too, started realizing my messages. So they started messaging me and they're like, oh yeah, same thing happened to me about like this month ago, four damn. Months ago. So I was like, damn, for real. And then so like this fool started deleting like my messages in the group chat. And then after when I got like really serious about it, like, yo, you know, dude, like you're fucking up, you're a bitch, this and that. He blocked me from the group chat.
Right.
And he was like, so he blocked me from the group chat, and I was like, yo, what the fuck? Like, I tried to hit him up through his phone, and he, like, blocked me and shit, and other students called him out, and they got kicked out of the group chat, too, and shit. So, yeah. So the moral of the story is do not do Amazon dropshipping. Get an actual distributor who will give you an authorization letter. And you can sell shit, and that'd be amazing. So, yeah,
right.
E-commerce. I'm still trying to get into it, but I kind of lost a little bit of faith. But I'm still trying to go at it with more with social media advertising and advertising for businesses, because that just seems more legit than drop shipping and shit. It's just too much of a hassle. So yeah, that's pretty much it with Amazon. If you guys know what. If you guys are deciding to get into e-commerce, don't trust Instagram gurus and people saying that they're going to help you build an automated store. It's all bullshit. They're all teaching you a scam, and you'll end up getting fucked and losing your money at the end. But I will tell you that if you do not purchase anything or anything through Zelle to them personally, always buy off their website. And if you got a receipt number or order number from that, you're able to get your money back, which not a lot of people know about. You just gotta go to your bank and dispute the purchase and tell them why, and they might call you and ask you why and what happened. And as long as you have screenshots of everything and your receipts, they'll give you your money back.
Wow. Yeah. Well, all right, brother. We talked about the music. We talked about econ and finance. We talked about some drop shipping. Is there anything else you want to say? Do you want to tell the people where they can follow you?
You can follow me at OceanGrowing714 or at WildWestEcom on Instagram.
For all the tips and tricks about it. And this is over here, it's original podcast, the Ohio podcast. You trying to go get some food?
Yes, sir. Or I'm probably going to make some food.
I seen there was some salad in there.
Yeah, she made a salad for us, and then I'm about to cook up some chicken.
Oh, yeah, we about to eat salad and chicken.
Hell yeah. I'm fucking fried.
Drinking champagne. All right. Over here, it's original podcast. We're out.